Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Woo, our God is so good. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. And it's a joy to be with you tonight, be with the saints of God and get together around His Word, to study together, to grow, continue to grow together in the revelation of divine truths. Hallelujah. I trust that you're doing well, you and your loved ones. I hope that all is well with you. I hope you are continuing to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. This season is changing a little bit, but glory to God. Our Father never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the other thing that never changes is His Word. The Bible says heaven and earth may pass away, but not a jot of His Word will go unfulfilled. Hallelujah. When God speaks His Word, it is established. It has to come to pass. And His Word will never fail. His Word will never change. So praise God, we're truly privileged and we are blessed to be covenant children of the Almighty God, called to walk with Him and to fulfill the abundant life, the purpose of God in our times, to enjoy the blessings of abundant life together. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, wherever you are in the world, whatever platform you are joining us on. Thank you again. Let's just share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence that is here already. Thank you for your words that you continually speak to us. Thank you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight. As we get together around the Word of God, we're truly excited to be able to come together again to study your Word, to receive revelation, insight, understanding, and God, to lay hold on more divine truths, revelation of more divine truths. And we thank you, our God. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Receive all the glory and all the praise to yourself. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. What are we studying, saints? Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our theme scripture in Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be," glory to God, "that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen and amen and amen. When we begin to think like God, our lives become elevated. When we begin to think like our Father thinks, when our thoughts, our predominant thoughts, are like His thoughts, then we will begin to experience an elevation in our lives, which will confound the human understanding. If you have been with us, I am thankful that you've been with us on this journey. If you are new and you are really just joining us tonight, or you're a few lessons in with us, you do need to get a good foundation of what we have been studying. This is one of the most important concepts for a believer. For every human being, once we give our lives to Christ, we come in through the door. Hallelujah. When we come in through the way, the very next thing is this aspect of having our minds renewed with the Word of God. Having this renovation process take hold every day. Every day, every hour. Constantly, consistently renovating our minds. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman comes unto the Father but by me. No man or woman will come unto the Father except by Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the abundant life. And those three things are connected as we have studied together. So I pray that you have that foundation very well set through a lot of the lessons that we have studied together. And like I said, if you don't and you are pretty new to this, you do need to go back and get some good foundation. It will be very helpful to you. These studies are so powerful. They're so life-changing. Many times, I hear a lot of Christians praying, oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. But a lot of times, actually, the miracle they need is right there in the Word of God. But because they don't have an understanding of it, or they don't have a knowledge or revelation knowledge of it, the miracle is right there, but they can't access it. It's very much like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they were in need of everything. They didn't have water, they didn't have food, they didn't have direction. And they were crying out to the Lord. And one time Moses, leading them, was crying out to the Lord, Lord, we just need water. And they actually found water, but the water was bitter. We just need water. And so many people are experiencing bitterness in their lives. And they're praying and crying out to God, God, do something. God, please. God, please. And the Lord said to Moses, there's a tree right there. Moses had seen that tree, just didn't know the power in that tree. He just didn't know what God had already done, the miracle that God had created and purposed through that tree. God said, there's that tree. Take that tree and throw it into the water. And when he did, all of the bitterness disappeared. A lot of times, that's how the revelation of the Word of God is. These people are dealing with so much bitterness, so much frustration, so much pain. And they are praying and they are crying, Lord, please do something. Lord, please, please, please. And the miracle is right there. And a lot of times, the miracle is the Word. If they would just incline their ears, if they would just get in that Word, if they would connect with the teaching, the ministry of that Word, many times the Word of God opens doors. The Word of God creates miracles. The Word of God changes things. Amen. So when we begin to think the way God thinks, our lives become elevated. Well, how do we begin to think like God thinks? That's essentially what we have been studying these past several months. How to renovate our minds so that we can begin to think like God thinks. Amen. Like the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, he's telling us that not because he wants us to feel bad that we don't have his thoughts. No, he's telling us that so that we can come up in our thinking. We can come up in our experience. You see, the verse before that, he said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So you see, the reason he's telling us this is not so we can wallow in self-pity and feel bad that we're not thinking like God. We don't have his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Oh, poor us. Oh, poor us. No. It is so that, like he said, the wicked can forsake his ways if we're not walking in his way that we can turn around. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, if we don't have the thoughts of God, that we can begin to renovate our minds to think the thoughts of God. That's Isaiah 55 verse 7 right there. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we have been studying how to renovate our minds with the word of God. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, from verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And of course, as we have studied time and time again, in the Amplified Version, verse 2 reads, don't be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen. And we have read that, interpreted that, where he says, so that you may prove. We have read that as so that you may experience for yourself. When our minds are renovated to the word of God and we begin to think like God, we will experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So how do we renovate our minds? I'm not going back to do revision or reviewing tonight, just because all of the lessons are there. So if you missed some parts where we got into how the hows of renovating our minds, if you've missed any of that, I encourage you to go back and get all of that revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have studied already the very first step to renovating the mind is to embrace the truth of the word of God, to brainwash our minds with the truth of the word of God. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. Oh my goodness. We took about 3 different weeks to study on the revelation of divine truths, the aspect and the power of the truth in helping us renew our minds. So many of that stuff is all there in our podcasts and the different media on our website and in different places where you access these teachings. You'll be blessed by them. The revelation of truth is the very first step to the renovation of the mind. Amen. The truth of the word of God is the defender. It's what defends us. It's what establishes the mind. It's what sets us free. It's what delivers us from every form of corruption and deception. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? What? It will set you free from corruption, the corruption of the world. It will set you free from deception. It will set you free from every form of bondage. Begins in the heart, goes all the way to the mind. Amen. The truth will set you free. So you must be a lover of truth if you will succeed in renovating your mind. Truth in every area of life. The truth of the word of God clarifies and illuminates everything. Hallelujah. We want to go on to the very second step tonight. What is the second step in renovating our minds as believers? And all of these are interwoven, they're interconnected, but you see the flow one after the other. And so they are on a string. None of them is isolated. And some of them actually a greater emphasis of some of the ones that we have talked about, But it's very important that we understand each of these steps and we practice them. We actually study them out and we practice them. Because if we do, you will be surprised. You would find yourself, you suddenly discover you are a different person from who you used to be years ago. And some for some of us, even months ago, just based on the revelation of a lot of truth that the Lord has given to us in this series of studies, you will discover you're a totally different person, a different, totally different man, totally different woman, totally different boy, totally different girl, based on these revelations. What is the second step to renovating our minds, to think like God so that our lives are elevated? Feeding your mind continually with the word and beginning to actively challenge the junk from the world that you grew up on. The second step to renovating our minds with the word of God is that we must feed our mind continually with the word of God and start actively challenging the junk from the world that we grew up on. You may say, Pastor, what does that mean? It means we must be committed to immersing our minds continually in the word of God. But secondly, we must be committed to challenging the things that we believe, things that we have believed for many years, things that we have heard, things that we have imbibed, and things that we have heard ourselves say, sometimes even teach to other people, sometimes even speak to other people. Amen. We must begin to challenge all of that junk. I'm going to read a few notes here. We're going to get into some in-depth study here. Because right here, once we understand the place of the truth of the Word of God and we embrace that truth and we begin to seek out the revelation of divine truth, that is awesome. The very next thing we must do then is begin to feed our minds intentionally. Feed our minds deliberately on the truths of the Word of God, and then go in there and take tools that the Holy Spirit gives to us and use those tools to dig up junk that we grew up on, junk that we have imbibed for many years, junk that we have believed, junk that have settled in our minds, that have become almost gospel. A lot of junk which is not founded in the Word of God. So feed your mind continually with the Word and start actively challenging the junk from the world you grew up on. Listen to this. Just like a child, your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. Just like a child. Your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. If you feed a child good, nutritious meals, diets, as prescribed by nutritionists and pediatricians and stuff like that, those children will grow up and become healthy. They'll be healthy children. All of us have seen images from around the world of unhealthy children. Sadly. We've seen images of children from different parts of the world, malnourished, deprived, unhealthy, sickly. And a lot of that has to do with nutrition or lack thereof. Skinny bones and the bloated stomachs and the illnesses in a lot of that many children suffer around the world is due to deprivation. Is because of lack and poverty. Well, think for a minute. All of us have seen images, I believe you have, as I have, and many of us even grew up around, not just the images, we actually grew up around people in places, in nations, where children were just like that. Some of us are still growing up around people like that. I want you for a minute to think and to picture those children. I want you to have them in your consciousness. And then I want you to put beside those sickly children, malnourished children, I want you to think of some very healthy. You've also seen some of those images on TV or even around us. Healthy children that are growing well, that are healthy, that are doing well, that are strong, that are well nourished, that are just blossoming. And as you think of those two images, as you focus on those two images in your mind, I want you to zero in on the root cause of the difference between these two kinds of children. It is mostly nutrition. Sometimes there might be a few other things like genetics, like the environment, like family, like tradition, like culture, a few things like that. But most of the time, it is nutrition. The mind, our minds are just like those children. Whatever we feed our minds will determine how healthy or unhealthy our minds are. Garbage in. Let's listen to this again. Just like a child, your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. Garbage in, garbage out. Substance in, substance out. Like a sponge, when soaked in anything, when squeezed, your mind will produce whatever it has been soaked in. When you squeeze a sponge, after soaking it in some liquid, what's going to come out of that sponge isn't some imaginary liquid. No, it is what it was soaked in. Whatever we soak that sponge in is what's going to ooze out of that sponge. Hallelujah. Like a computer, there are several kinds of information that are programmed and stored in your subconscious mind that you are not even aware of. There's some information that is in the hard drive of our subconsciousness, a lot of times that we're not even aware of. Things that we picked up when we were children, things that we heard, some things that we experienced so innocently without realizing how life-defining some of those experiences could have been. And a lot of those things are hidden in our subconscious. And what happens a lot of times is a lot, from time to time, these various batches of programmed information rise up and move us to say and do things that surprise even us. These things from our subconscious, they rise up and move us to say things and move us to do things that many of us are even surprised by. Have you caught yourself saying something and you wish you could take it all back and you wonder, where did that come from? Or have you found yourself acting in a particular way and you went back and wish nobody saw you do that, because even you feel embarrassed by what you did. And you search and you wonder, why did I do that? Where did that come from? The secret to that, the answer to that question, is there's a lot of things stored up in our minds that have been stored up over many years that have defined the way our minds think. So, once we embrace the truth, we start embracing the truth, the revelation of divine truths, and we start addressing some things as lies and accepting everything in the Word of God as truth, well, then the next thing is to feed our minds with that truth. Because getting a revelation of truth does not necessarily mean that we are feeding ourselves on that truth. Doesn't mean that we are buying into that truth. Doesn't mean we are allowing our minds to become immersed in that truth. Hallelujah. It is really up to you and up to me to take control of our minds and condition them positively and spiritually by reprogramming them with the Word of God so they can deliver to our lives everything we desire and everything God designed for us. It is up to us. It is up to you and it's up to me to take control of our minds and begin to condition them positively and spiritually by reprogramming them with the Word of God so that they can deliver to our lives everything we desire and everything that God designed for us. All of those things, all of those thoughts that come out, that rise up from time to time, those thoughts, whether they are thoughts of fear or thoughts of anxiety or thoughts of panic or thoughts of insecurity or thoughts of envy or thoughts of jealousy or thoughts of hatred or thoughts of bitterness or thoughts of offense or thoughts that are not in line with the will of God for us. And yet those thoughts that come up, they come up from time to time. Thoughts of rebellion, thoughts of self-will, self-will and self-deception. Those thoughts that have the power and the potential to corrupt us. Those thoughts that separate us from the nature and the character of God. Those thoughts that keep us in the basement of life. Those thoughts that limit us, that don't allow us to break free, that don't allow us to break out. Those thoughts that hold us in bondage and don't allow us to dream the dreams that God has for us. Those thoughts that limit our imagination. Well, those thoughts, they're all there in the recesses of our minds. They rise up from time to time. And what we need to do, we need to reprogram our mind. We need to flush out those thoughts by feeding our mind continually on the Word of God. Continually. Feeding our minds continually. Like that child we spoke about. Feeding that mind continually. Like you and I have been doing the last few weeks. As we've been studying together. Feeding that mind. Feeding that mind. Feeding that mind. And as we're feeding the mind and things come up that we recognize from years ago are not in line with the thoughts of God. They are not in line with what God says and what God thinks about us or concerning us. And then we challenge those thoughts and we read them out of our minds. We say to those thoughts, no, you cannot be here. You cannot stay here. You cannot stay here because you are not in line with the thoughts of God for me. Oh my goodness. I want us to go read Jeremiah chapter. Oh my goodness. The mind is like a soil. It's like a hardened soil. There are different descriptions that the Word of God gives us in the New Testament, especially for different kinds of minds that are not in line, that are not like the mind of God. Many times the mind is like a clogged up pipe. It's like a hardened soil that needs to be broken up. It's like a fallow ground, patched. Sometimes porous and weak and defeated and sometimes just hardened. And we're going to give you a few examples of what the Bible says, how the Bible describes some of these types of the mind, and you find out, all of us will find out, some of those descriptions actually match the way our minds present from time to time. Hallelujah. So in Jeremiah chapter 4, from verse 1, the Bible tells us the Lord was speaking unto his people. Let's read this together. Jeremiah chapter 4 from verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return unto me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. That is, you will not stray, you will not waver. You will not stand on shaky grounds. Verse 2. And you will swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men, to the women of Judah, Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart or your mind. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like a fire and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Break up your fallow grounds. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart or your mind, he said. Don't sow seeds among thorns. See that? Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart or your mind. Amen. So that the precious nature of God that we have received can emerge. Break up your fallow ground. I really like that expression. Why? Because the minds, our minds, are like that fallow ground. Every human mind is like that fallow ground. It's that ground that has not been tended to, that has not been properly cultivated. In agriculture, there's something called harrowing and plowing. You know, if you are into lawn maintenance, a lot of times, almost on a seasonal basis, sometimes the lawn gets patchy and gets touched up, and the weeds sometimes take over, and you know, some it just needs attention. And sometimes some of these patchy parts of the lawn, we may find out what we need to do is actually sow fresh seed. And sometimes now there are by genetics and by science, there are seeds that have been developed, good seeds sometimes that do well on certain kind of soils, and some of them that can actually withstand real adverse environmental conditions. And so we may go out and buy those seeds. We want to sow them on our lawn because we want our lawn to be healthy. The farmers know that well. They know this so well. They want to produce good crops. So they don't just go take this high quality of seeds and not pay attention to the ground in which, or the soil in which they're going to sow those things. So you buy these seeds, as beautiful, as powerful, potent as these seeds are, but you realize the first thing we've got to do is put those seeds aside. Let's do something with the land. Let's do something with the ground. Let's do something with the soil. The Bible says, break up your fallow grounds. There are hardened patches in the mind over years of exposure to corruption and rebellion and disobedience and self-will and all of these things. The mind has hardened. What we're talking about tonight is so powerful, it's so important. We're talking about what is responsible for what's coming out of your subconscious mind. Many times people don't even realize that. As hard as they are trying to have their minds renovated, to renew themselves and renew their thoughts and put away the things from the world, they find themselves spinning their wheels. Don't understand why. There's something about that ground. There's something about that soil. He said, break up your fallow ground. Don't sow among thorns. We have to do something with that ground. As good, as awesome as the quality of the word of God that we are receiving, if we keep sowing them on that fallow ground, and if we don't do something with that ground, that mind, to break it up, to loosen it. Hallelujah. To plow it. To do something with the condition of it. To unclog it and to make it receptive to this good ground, this good soil, a good seed. Well, we're just receiving all these powerful instructions from the Word of God, and it will not make any difference. After a year of going through studies on how to renovate your mind, you may come out on the back end, on the other side of that series of knowledge and study and revelation, and find out that you're probably still in the same spot where you started from. Why? Because the mind, that fallow ground, needs to be broken up. I was talking about the lawn, and sometimes there are this, you know, scientists have developed these good, high quality seeds that have such potential to do well, regardless of the adverse conditions, environmental conditions, climatic conditions. Some of these seeds can do so well. But what they don't know, farmer, and no one who knows about lawn maintenance and things like that, will take those seeds and just dump them on the ground. Just and hope for the best. No, they don't do that. In fact, one of the practices that's very common, it's almost an annual practice in maintaining lawns and things like that, something that's called aeration. They aerate the land or the lawn. What does that mean? They go in there, bring their equipment. Some of this equipment will go deep into the soil, and turn it. They call it aeration, to aerate it. To aerate means to give more air, They loosen up the clogs, the plods. They loosen up the particles of the soil, of the lawn, so that the seeds that are planted there. Now, after that aeration, then they bring high quality or good quality seeds, plant them, go over those patched areas, those dead areas. They plant them, water them, and then you see the lawn come alive. The farmers know them. When they sow their crops, why are we talking about this? There's something about the mind. Remember what we said earlier? It's garbage in, garbage out. And for many years, it was garbage in. And the garbage out, many times, we're experiencing in our current life. But the reason is because there was a lot of garbage that was fed into our mind for many years that have taken hold in our subconscious. And many of these things come out and limit us in our aspirations to think like God. Hallelujah. So what do? We break up the fallow ground. We have to break up the fallow ground. The word of God is so powerful. It is the word of God that enables us to do this. Hallelujah. You go back to that scripture in Isaiah 55. There are certain characteristics of the word of God that make the word of God so potent and so powerful in reconditioning and in reprogramming the mind. You can hardly explain this naturally. You can hardly, because these are not natural principles. These are supernatural principles. The word of God has such power to reprogram. That's why it's called renovate the mind. To rebuild that mind. To renew it. It's almost like recreating it from scratch. It's not a recreation from scratch as though something didn't exist there before, but it is a recreation from scratch as though what existed there before was just material to start. That's all. It was only good enough to start the process of renovation. And then we take the word of God, we feed that mind constantly, like the farmer. We go there and we break up that fallow ground. We take the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, and we go in there. We turn the soil of the mind. We break up the hardened clogged up the particles and aspects or parts of the soil that limit the growth of the seed that is sown in there. Remember the story of the parable of the sower that we are told in Mark chapter 4 that the Lord Jesus. Let's read that just before I'm going to take us back to Isaiah 55. I want to show you, because there are certain things that make the word of God so powerful and make the word of God so potent in renovating that mind, in recreating that mind, in breaking up the fallow ground of the mind. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 4. You remember? In Mark chapter 4, let's read the actual parable before we read the interpretation. Mark chapter 4. Let's read from verse 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and from verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto to them in his teaching, in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground. That's a description of the mind many times, of the heart many times. It's stony ground. It's impervious to the seed. It's hardened. It has to be broken up. So when the word of God says, break up your fallow ground, there are stony patches of the mind that need to be broken up. Patches of the mind that will refuse to yield, that will refuse to submit, that will refuse to follow, that will refuse to be instructed. Stony patches, hardened. We didn't get there intentionally. We didn't know what we were doing. Just so much garbage in from the world. So much junk that we fed on. A lot of it through entertainment. A lot of it through culture. A lot of it through watching family. A lot of it watching other people, bad examples and wrong things. And a lot of it by interpreting things wrongly or making decisions that were not in line with the will of God for us, because of certain experiences that we had. And the mind became hardened, like a clogged up pipe that wouldn't allow water to flow through. Mind hardened will not be receptive to the seed of the word of God. No matter how much seed, somebody can sit there and listen to the word 24/7, listen to the word day and night, and yet they remain the same person. They can hear the word taught, they can hear the messages, and yet they remain the same. The minds have become impervious, unreceptive to the seed of the word of God. See, he says some fell on stony ground where he had not much earth, and immediately he sprang up because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because he had no root, it withered away. Why? Why did he have no root? Because that ground did not have a composition to allow a root to develop. Something needed to change in the composition of that ground. There needed to be a reworking, whatever the name you want to call it. A changing, a stirring, a breaking up. It had no root. The seed had potential, but the potential of the seed could not produce anything. Produce something little, showed up over a couple of days, and everybody's excited. Have you heard how sometimes believers are excited about the word? How they talk, oh, that message, oh, that word, oh, it changed my life. They can even post about it. They can even write a song about it. They can even tell their neighbors about, it was a powerful, powerful message. Oh, I was so blessed by it. But 1 week later, they are right back acting like they never heard that teaching. They are acting, they are thinking, they are speaking like they never heard the teaching. What's that? No root. Hardened mind. Impervious. He said he had no root. He had no roots. So then what happened? It withered away. It withered away. The word couldn't do anything in that life. The word couldn't produce anything in that life. Remember, in Isaiah 55, hold that place in Mark chapter 4. Look, in Isaiah 55, remember the Lord said in Isaiah 55 verse 10, he said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Now, the Lord is comparing the power of his word to a soil that produces. When the water comes and the rain comes and waters the earth and seeds are put in, they produce harvest. Produce and give seed to the sower and give bread to the eaters. They produce as they are directed. The seeds produce. Why? Because the soil was receptive to the seed. But in Mark chapter 4, the seeds could not produce anything. It withered away. Why? Because the soil would not receive what was sown in it. Hardened. Hardened. And then he said, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You remember in Jeremiah 4, the Lord said, don't sow those seeds among thorns. The mind sometimes is the picture of thorns. There's so many thorns, useless material. You know what thorns do? Thorns, you know, weeds, they're like weeds. They want to occupy the ground, the same ground where a seed is supposed to grow. Weeds want to take over that ground. You can't have, if you have those weeds there, those weeds are going to stop the seeds, the real grass or the real crop from growing. That's why the farmer has to weed. You have to weed. You have to clear out those weeds that are sucking up the nutrients, are sucking up the life out of that soil, out of that land. When the mind is full of thorns, the word, the seed of the word, cannot produce in that mind. Because the mind is full of thorns. It's full of thorns, distractions, and hurts, and nonsense, no value, junk. But it occupies the mind. And when that junk occupies the mind, no matter how much good seed you put in there, it can't produce. It cannot produce. So God said, break up your fallow ground. Look at it. He said, and others, they fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. Not a little fruit. Yielded zero. Where are the thorns. Praise God. Others fell, verse 8, others fell on good ground. That good ground is the mind that has been renovated by the word of God. That good ground is the heart that is connected with a mind that has been renovated by the word of God. That good ground. Hallelujah. And that good, the seed that fell on that good ground did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Good ground. How do we go from hardened, stony, thorny, to good ground that produces? It's the process of renovating the mind. The daily process of renovating the mind. God's word says, as is my soul, shall my word be, goes forth out of my mind, it will not return to me void. The word of God is so powerful to condition the heart and to condition the mind. The word of God cannot be corrupted. Let's come back to this next week because our time is gone now. The word of God is incorruptible. When the word of God makes contact with a good mind, with a mind that is actively being renovated, there can be no resistance. There can be no corruption. The word of God is incorruptible. The word of God is unstoppable. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. It will accomplish that which it was sent to do. It will accomplish the word of God. It's the power in the word of God to renovate the mind of a believer. The word of God is so potent. It's so full of life. It's invincible. It's so strong. So strong. It's full of integrity. We've already said it's divine truth. Is integrity. Won't be changed. You can't change it. It is yea and yea. Yea and yea. Bible says the promises of God, they are yes, yes and amen. The word will do what God said the word will do. The word will produce what God said the word will produce. So we must break up the fallow ground of the mind. Look at some of the ways the mind is described. Some of the ways, hallelujah, the mind is described. Some of the reasons why the mind is so difficult and so unyielding a lot of times is because of the hardened condition of that mind. And in the New Testament, as we close out tonight, my time is up really. In the New Testament, there are a number of descriptions for the mind. A number of descriptions for that mind that is hardened, not where it should be. Bible talks about the blinded mind, the reprobate mind. We'll read some of this next week if we can. Carnal mind, unbelieving high mind, deceived, corrupted, seduced mind, vain, empty mind, earthly mind, alienated mind, feeble mind, shaking troubled mind, defiled minds, tired, fainting minds, double minds. The word of God has the power to break it up. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us tonight. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Our time is gone, saints. I'm just looking at my time. I'm totally out of time. Thank you for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.